Hello and welcome to Clock Spinning, the podcast of Magic's history as told card by card. I'm Austin, and with me, as always, is my co-host creature, Connor. How are you today, Connor?
I'm good. I like being a co-host creature.
I wanted to read your little text box.
Yeah, I forgot about our text boxes.
It's weird we're not legendary. I just realized. It's kind of weird.
We could change that. We could make that happen.
Host creature is kind of passive. It's like there's a larva or parasite that's kind of taken hold.
Well, maybe.
Maybe there is. Who knows? You'll never know, audience. You'll know when we're replaced by our higher forms. Maybe today's the day.
Maybe. I don't think so, though, because we're not talking about higher forms. We're talking about, I think, fairly low forms of creatures called orgs.
Holy cow, that segue. Wow. Oof, hold on to your hats, people.
just totally on the fly here. We are talking about all four org creatures in Magic the Gathering. All of them red, all of them 6/6s, and I'm excited.
All of them four armed. It's going to be great.
Yeah, the most important feature.
They're all basically green Machamps. Well, actually, one of them is not. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Wait a sec, two of them. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, we're just gonna go through all four orgs, rate them as we usually do on our scale of S being the best and F obviously being the worst. And we're just going to talk about four orgs. So if you know what these are, hopefully you enjoy the ride. If you don't know what orgs are, hopefully this will be a great learning experience for you, and we'll just have a good time with it.
You're in the right place if you don't know what orgs are. We don't normally like to say things like this, but if you don't know it, you could be found out as a fake fan. And this is your chance to kind of get right.
We're here to help.
Just an extra negative framing. All right. Should we dive into our very first org, Connor? Journeying back, what is this, like 20 years old almost? Hella old.
Oh, older than that. This org isn't 30 years old now. Oh. This org is org. God, Austin, it's a reality check.
I'm going to have a drink of tea while you work through this. Okay, take it away.
All right, so our first org is Org, which is a summon org in the Fallen Empires lingo. This is 3 red-red for a 6/6 creature with trample, and I'm going to read the card as printed. Org may not attack if opponent controls an untapped creature of power greater than 2. Org cannot be assigned to block any creature of power greater than 2. And then the flavor text is, it's bigger than it thinks. Now, I think you have a lot more to say about the competitive history of this card than I do, which is pretty interesting. But I do just love this card on so many levels. Like the central mechanic is very cool to me and almost unique. I just found one other card that does this. It's a card called Goblin Mutant. Printed in Ice Age, and it's basically just a smaller, wimpier version of Org. I think it's like
a deep cut. Wow. Okay.
4 mana for a 5/3. It's got the same artist, Daniel Gellon, did Org and Goblin Mutant. So it's just those two cards that do this. And the art, I think we'll have to save for an entirely separate discussion from the printed text, because it is something else.
Yeah, we can go to the art in a second. As Connor said, one of the fun things about this card is that it actually has a pretty strong competitive history, which to modern Magic eyes is almost unbelievable looking at this, like, just kind of big beater with a really significant drawback. But actually, this won a Worlds Type 2 event in Worlds 97. I was on my phone there, if you noticed that I was extremely rude, because someone shared this with me on a Discord. I wanted to credit them, but I'm blanking on their name. So sorry to whoever gave me this information. I'll put a link in the deck list, but Jun Yeon Kim piloted this in kind of a red deck wins, or a sly as it was known back then, shell to a first place finish at Worlds 97 in Seattle. That top 8 was like half red deck wins. And I think it's kind of cool to think that such a bad card could be that good. And it really illustrates, like, red deck wins or sly was one of the big, I think level ups in competitive Magic, like realizing, you know what, you can have, like, literally, let me read you some cards from another deck in this top eight. One of the other decks in the top eight had Force of Will, Dark Ritual, Swords to Plowshares, Counterspell, Stasis, Enlightened Tutor. These things were all standard legal at the time. And a bunch of other like crazy broken cards. And yet somehow that deck took only fifth place and Org took first place. And I think that speaks to the power of just like curving out and playing a big dumb creature on every turn. And the creatures were very dumb. Like the other creatures in this deck are things like Iron Claw, Orc, Viashino, Sand Stalker, Brothers of Fire, Sukkotaw, Lancer. These are really medium at best creatures. And yet that deck was able to take World's Win, which I think is very cool. Kind of an illustration of the power of like mana curves and just like doing things on every single turn of the game. Another fun thing about this event, this tournament was covered on ESPN and in Sports Illustrated, because I think at this point there was still a thought that Magic would be a sport or something. And I'm going to link this in the video, but there's unfortunately not, like, as far as I can tell, footage of the whole tournament, but there is like a 6-minute sizzle reel on YouTube, and it is extremely worth watching, because it's trying to like bring the ESPN viewer into this already incredibly complicated game. And I don't know how anyone would have followed it, but it basically opens with this. Players can spend anywhere from 2 hours to create their deck to weeks or even months. Players start with land in their decks. Creatures are very important. Like, they're just trying to like fact up all this stuff. And I cannot imagine anyone heard all that. Yeah, creatures are very important. I love that too.
I love that.
But I can't imagine anyone heard like this avalanche of random facts. It was like, oh, I see. Org beating the deck with Swords to Plowshares is quite interesting. I understand all the nuance. But anyway, this showed up in Pro Worlds 97. It also showed up in some Pro Tour decks in 95, 96. So this card has a like kind of storied competitive history, despite being objectively kind of terrible. I don't know much about competitive Magic back then, but I wonder if part of that is that creatures like were bad and creature decks were bad. So, you know, this drawback isn't really a drawback now that I think about it. If you're playing against the like Stasis, Arcane Denial, like I'm actually checking, does this card have a creature in it? No. So for like a lot of the control decks, I think we're just straight up creatureless. So it's actually fine. Org can get in there, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I kind of love that. It's just like a big pile of mediocre creatures figuring out the one weakness of the control deck that it has. No creatures.
Well, and it's still a thing now, right? Like, I feel like in my cube, for instance, yeah, I'm constantly getting my butt handed to me or handing somebody else's butt to them with, like, you know, I'm going to avoid all the card draw. I'm going to avoid all the synergy, and I'm just going to draft, like, red one drops and red and white two drops and three drops. And, like, that deck is the best deck in my cube. I think it's the best deck in Vintage Cube most iterations. Like, 30 years later, that is still one of the best decks in Magic. And it's still routinely underestimated because it just doesn't have the like sex appeal of like Swords to Plowshares, Stasis, Force of Will.
Yeah. You're saying that Org doesn't have sex appeal?
I think he's actually, let's talk about the art. I think the art, I mean, look at the loincloth. Who knows what that thing's hiding?
great point.
I think, what do you think of this art? I think this art is like fantastic. I think this art is just super excellent.
I love it. There, it feels so old school Magic. It has this sort of like perfect, I don't want to call it a bland color palette, but just like a sort of brownness to everything that is really appealing in a way that it's earth tony. Yeah. In a way that the Time Spiral cards we looked at in our last Crack a Pack episode, the browny earth tones of those art pieces did not work anywhere near as well as this Org does. And it's just like funny and fun to look at.
Yeah, I think that like the kind of muscliness of the Org and like fat, like it's like this muscle fat thing that's kind of funny. Like he's just this big bruisey guy. He's got these horrible little hairs running down his back. And then there's this guy, this running away guy. I don't know what he is, but I love this creature like absolutely losing his mind with fear trying to get away.
Yeah,
it's very funny.
Yeah. I don't know what that little guy's deal is, but I really like him too. Like the mouth is super weird. Like, doesn't really fit with the face.
Yeah, I wasn't able to turn up any history on like why orgs have four arms. If anyone knows of anything, let us know. I don't know if that was like the direction given to Daniel Gellin, or he just thought it would be funny to give this thing four arms, and then this creature type was born. Interesting to know that.
Yep.
I wasn't familiar. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I really appreciate the art taken together with the mechanics and the flavor text. It's one of those combinations that makes me wonder, like, what came first? Like, was the card come up with, and then the art was commissioned to match a creature that doesn't, like, that thinks it's much smaller and weaker than it really is? Or was the flavor text just kind of put in there to match an effect that was given to them, and then the art is just sort of in, like, some creature roaring with a little guy running away from it? Like, one of those ones that makes me wonder how all those pieces came together.
Yeah, it's one of those really nice kind of like triple thread or something. Like, they all work together really nicely, right? The flavor text supports the mechanics, which supports the art. Like, all of them feel like they were designed kind of in one go in a way that I think is really, really nice. And I always love these magic mechanical moments where the mechanic, like, directly evokes the flavor, like, that this thing is afraid to interact with even, like, slightly large creatures. Like, it's pretty cool to me that the mechanics of it, the basic mechanics of the card game, can bring that to life just through this card.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the really special things about Magic.
Yeah. I wasn't really familiar with Daniel Gellin before this. The name, like, rang some kind of bell, so I looked him up. He's got a lot of cool pieces. Goblin Snowman, which is one of my all-time favorite pieces of art. Savannah Lions, Goblin Matron, Strip Mine. So he's done like 60-odd pieces, but a lot of bangers in there. Obviously, Goblin Snowman, like, takes the cake as the best Daniel Gellin piece, in my opinion.
Yep, yep. I mean, it made it into the thumbnail for of our episodes, so it's got to be good, right?
This was on the time shifted sheet for Time Spiral, which I don't think I realized until this. I don't know if I ever pulled one, which makes me sad because I would have been very pleased. I kind of want to have all four printings of this for no real reason. Like, obviously, this is in Fallen Empires, which was a disastrous failed set, so you can still 30 years later get this rare card for 38 cents, which I think is kind of wonderful. There's a Pro Tour printing because this was in Pro Tour decks. You can get this in Gold Border. There's a 5th edition printing and the Time Spiral Time Shifted one. So you can get this in four different frames, which I think is kind of wonderful.
Four frames for four orgs.
For four orgs. And you can do all of that for less than $2.
Boom.
That seems like a no-brainer, actually. Just collect these. So one more.
What do you give this guy? Oh, you got one more?
Oh, no, just I have one more quote from the World's 97 ESPN coverage, which was, Magic is being compared to a combo of chess, poker, and bridge, which I think is not bad. The bridge one is interesting in there because I don't feel like bridge has any mind share. Like, honestly, bridge is just a game that I know exists. And that's as far as I could tell. I couldn't tell you anything about the game.
That's as far as I could go.
You play it in like two pairs, right? Is that bridge?
Genuinely don't know.
Do you remember the thing in the newspaper? We're just going off. I'm going off like an old man now. But do you remember that newspapers used to have like bridge games, like with the comics? Like, at least the Oregonian newspaper we grew up with. Remember, there was the comics, there was the horoscope, the crossword, and then in a corner of that page was like bridge strategy. It was like a little like two column eighth height, like, east and west are doing this, and so south should do that. Do you remember that? No? Okay. Don't worry about it.
Just little like bridge strategy quiz.
It was like there'd be a scenario and they talk through it, I think. And maybe there was a letter writing component, but it was like apparently enough of a market that every day someone would be opening the newspaper to go like check their horoscope and read the bridge advice for the day, which I guess is kind of analogous to what I do with Magic and Reddit now that I think about it. So maybe it's not weird.
Cool.
Okay. Anyway, we're way off the reservation. What do you have this rated as, Cotter?
I give Org an A. I feel like this is just a solid card with amazing art and just it's a fun guy, fun old guy.
I respect that. I gave him a B. I don't know why. I guess I'm just was in a harsh mood, but I can't defend it, but I don't want to change it. So let's just move on. I feel a little ashamed.
Okay.
All right.
A shameful B.
Shameful B. All right. Next up, we have Trained Org from Starter. Is this Starter 99? Yeah, Starter 99. Not much to read here. 6 and an R for a 6/6 beast. Ew. Later errata to an org, as it should have been. That's it. There is nothing else to read on this card, so I'll just read the flavor text now. All orcs know how to kill. Training teaches them what to kill. Kind of funny. I don't think it's quite as funny as the previous one, but I think it's a little funny. There is not much to say about this card, except, weirdly, this completely uninspired, boring card was featured in a Magic the Gathering TV commercial, which, like, of all the things to bring into a TV commercial, this is such an odd choice. I will link the commercial. If somehow you've never seen it, you should check it out. It is a total 90s time capsule. I personally find it so cringy that I had to turn the volume down as I watched it, because it's this total, like, kind of Sega Attitude era, like, really irritating thing.
Were you like continually turning the volume down as it went on? It just got quieter and quieter.
I could do a graph. So the premise of the commercial, if you haven't seen it, is like Wizards tests every Magic card in a real, like, fantasy combat environment, which I guess is meant to be the goofier premise or something. And they're supposed to test the org against the goblin today, but the goblin's not in the office. What do we do? Let's get Bob from accounting. And then the org, Bob from accounting, is sent in to basically fight a Rancor. It's just the Rancor scene from Star Wars. Really, and the org beats up Bob. And then that's the end of the commercial. You could, like, chart my volume, because it started okay, and then when they said Bob from accounting, I turned it down to, like, one notch on my macOS volume thing, because I just think that joke is so, so lazy and dumb. And then when the org was beating up Bob, that's fine. That's just silliness. We're just going everywhere today. Anyway, somehow Wizards had found that the original org was popular in market research or something, or maybe it was, like, the only really unique creature type, right? Because, like, you go back to Magic 99, like, what else is there, right? Like, yeah. You haven't invented anything yet. A Phyrexian, you're not really going to put, like, a Phyrexian in a commercial. That would be just gross. So I guess for some reason they pick an org. So they pick this org. They're going to air the commercial, but that means they need an org in the beginner set. And they decided that the original org was too mechanically complex for all this stuff. So they subbed in a different beginner-friendly org. And that's what we ended up with, this thing, which is just the dumbest thing ever. And Visardrix, which, if you haven't seen it, is 6 and a blue, 6/6 beast. It's just this card, but blue. And these were the starter cards for, like, 3 years. Like, I think we got a starter set for 7th edition that had these stinkers in it.
Yeah, we definitely trained Org and Visardrix were definitely part of our very earliest exposure to Magic. Yeah, that commercial is incredible. This card is not. It really bothers me that they made it a beast, and I don't know the full story behind the starter decks or, like, the portal sets, like, how
they're full of this kind of gross oversimplification.
Yeah, but it's like, it's the creature type. Are multiple creature types really the thing that are going to trip people up and make it hard for them to get into Magic? They're going to look at this. They're going to look at an org and say, like, oh, it's an org. Is that different from a beast? Like, that's not the thing that is gonna make people stumble if they're trying to get into this game. So it's like just dumbing it down in a way that is not actually helpful to anyone.
Yeah, dumb it down in a way that's not helpful, I think, is the general ethos of the starter sets and the portal sets. Like, yeah. I was just looking. Yep. So this wasn't printed in the starter 99 boosters. Thank goodness you couldn't pull this as your rare. It was in, like, a pair of decks, like 2 40-card decks. These decks are really weird. I'll link them in the show notes. One of them is a blue-white, I guess you'd say, Flyers deck, which kind of makes sense. The one that Trained Org is in is black, red, and green. I guess they felt they needed all 5 colors. So you are trying to rock a Grixis mana base. And if you're wondering if there's any fixing, the answer is no. You're rocking 6 forests, 6 mountains, and 6 swamps. Just a straight up triple, straight down the middle mana base. And I just looked through every creature. I won't read them all, but I will tell you, there is not a single creature in this deck that is anything more than French Vanilla. There are... let me check my numbers. There are 10 unique creatures in this. 8 of them are vanilla and 2 of them have flying. And that's it. That's all you get in this starter deck. And it's kind of amazing that led anyone to want to go on to play Magic, because that's so boring.
Yeah. Oh, that must be odd. We should play a game with those decks sometime.
Okay, we can air it. I think that'd be kind of fun. Can I share the strangest part of these starter decks with you that I just noticed? So there are three rare creatures in this Grixis starter deck. Trained Org, which sort of makes sense if you squint at it, because at least it's big. The other two are Mons Goblin Raiders, which, just to remind you, is a red 1/1 with no abilities. And even more egregiously, Goblin Hero, which is 2R for a 2/2 with no abilities. Both those have the rare symbol on them. And I know it's a precon and that doesn't mean anything, but what the heck? I don't understand that at all.
Well, you got to put a shiny star on some of the cards so the players...
But why Goblin Hero? They see them.
You got to pick something in the starter deck.
I guess. I think Bog Imp is more worthy of a gold star. This is egregious. Or Lava Axe. Yeah. Anyway, I won't belabor this, but these decks are stinkers. Wizards should be ashamed, I think, of these.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also not a fan of this art. The seventh edition art was the one that I think we were first introduced to.
Should we flip back and forth here? Or let's just start with this one and then we'll flip to the other one. So I think this art, we should almost rate these separately based on the art.
I mean, there's basically nothing else to rate here. So. Right.
Sure. Well, you go first. Why don't you like this art? Because I also think this art is terrible.
I don't know. Like... The two pieces are honestly not that different, but this is just so boring. It's like you took a relatively nice mountain, like the land type mountain. You took that and then you slapped a sticker of this big kind of chunky green goblin on top of it. And you can't even really see that there are four arms there. Like that.
You really got to look deep or
the
closely.
The distinctive feature of the org is four arms, and you really, I mean, you gotta, this is the kind of thing where, like, I could see myself having this card for 5 years and playing it, and hopefully I wouldn't play it for 5 years, but I play this
still the bedrock of your deck and extended. As long as it's extended legal, I'm coming with Trade Org.
I need it in my deck. Yeah, just like, it really bothers me that there's nothing distinctive or orgy about this, other than I guess the big bat ears and the name.
I'm surprised, creature type. Given your hatred of symmetry, that the like completely dead on straight perspective doesn't also bother you. Like it's so static the way he's just staring straight into the not even
no
a teeny
sense of
angle
movement at all.
Yeah.
It's like they thought that the starter deck players couldn't handle.
They couldn't handle perspective.
They can't handle perspective.
We don't want to confuse them. It's already confusing enough that this guy's got four. Maybe that's why we can't see his other two arms. It'd be too shocking and jarring to realize there's creatures in this game with four arms. Too scary.
That's too much.
Okay, so let's rate the starter one first, and then we can flip over to the seventh one. I think the starter one is actually just an F, the more I think about it. I had it as a D here, but it's just like, I mean, what is there to like? The flavor text is okay, I guess. Everything else is like, what a stinker.
Yeah, I was rating them collectively, but this one on its own, straight up F.
Okay, let's go look at the 7th edition one, because that's a little bit better. New flavor text here. I guess I'll read that one too. That arm's for bashing. That one's for smashing. That one's for scratching. And that one, I don't know what that one's for. Org trainer. So I guess we can compare here the flavor text and the art. Why don't you go first?
I like this flavor text better. I hate the starter 99 one. All orgs know how to kill. Training teaches them what to kill.
Really? I think that one's funny.
I don't think that's funny at all. It's just like it feels like it's taken straight out of the Bob from Accounting commercial, where it's like this like really over the top 90s like, you know, this is so awesome kind of attitude. Like it's this bad boy attitude that it's trying to break to this.
Just that's interesting. You don't read that as ironic. You read that as more like, these are all born killers.
Yeah. It's hard to read it as ironic in the context. Yeah. I don't like it at all.
Yeah. This one's at least fun. Also, it acknowledges that the four arms thing, which is kind of fun.
And you can see four arms here.
You can see the two big ones and the two kind of creepy vestigial ones. This one also is the first, the last two orgs we're going to talk about, I find both kind of quite creepy and unsettling. And this one, I think, is the first of these that I find pretty unsettling to look at. He's also actually dead on straight, I just realized, but I don't mind it here. I think because there's so much motion and like his rippling muscle and his like slavering jaws, slathering. What is that word? You know that word, something slavering jaws?
I thought it was like slavering.
Slavering?
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 Yeah, let's say he's slobbering.
Yeah, he's slobbering and slavering.
He's definitely doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've already said a lot more about Trained Org than it deserves. We both deserve.
All right. I think that brings it up to a D for me, though, at least.
Yeah. D overall for me.
D overall. All right. That's fair. What does this go for in foil 7th edition? Holy cow. Because, you know, 7th edition foils are always very expensive because there were so few. This will set you back $18 in foil. It's almost worth it. You know, Christmas is coming up, Connor. Spreadful.
Yeah. I'll keep this in mind.
Thank you. All right. We'll call it a D. Can we move on?
Okay. Yes. So next up we have Soul Gorger Org. 3RR for a 6/6, as all orgs must be. This is a nightmare org. It has trample. When it comes into play, you lose all but one life. And when it leaves play, you gain life equal to the life you lost when it came into play. I feel like we have to start with the art here just to get it out of the way. Now, are you shaking your head? No, you don't want to.
No, we can start with it. I just don't like it. It's very unsettling to me, but go ahead.
Yeah, it is deeply, deeply unpleasant. I think as far as I can tell, the arms of this org, all four of them are basically tentacles with mouths on the ends.
Yeah, I think that's correct. It's quite hard to tell, but I think so.
It is hard to tell. That on its own is bad enough. But then because this skin color of this org is just uniform all the way through, like I can't tell where one arm starts and another one, but like where it starts and ends and which tentacle is associated with which limb here. And it's all kind of like blending together in this sort of early AI image way that I find just really uncomfortable and unpleasant to look
at. This is very like an AI kind of confusion of like, green beast with tentacle arms. And it's like, well, where are all the tentacles starting and ending? I don't know. Don't worry about it too much.
Yeah. It's like they're just the idea of the mouth tentacle arms is bad enough, but then the way that they just kind of like flow into and through each other is just makes it even worse.
So is he meant to be sort of ensorceling this lady? Like, she seems kind of into it, right? She seems sort of like bewitched or dazed or something, but he's not giving clever.
Yeah, but it's almost like they're dancing.
What?
Right?
Is it? You mean because she's kind of like, she's about to like spin around or something, like in a waltz?
Yeah, she looks like she's spinning and he's just holding her in his embrace.
I think this is a totally new interpretation of Soul Gorger Org. Is she the planeswalker and he's her son? I don't know. I guess he's sucking the life out, right? That's what's happening here. He's sucking the life out of her.
I guess it looks like he's just sort of holding her tenderly.
Really?
I look at it.
It doesn't seem tender. I don't feel like he's very tender. He seems like a bad chap to me.
Maybe that's why it's so disconcerting for me. Is he's holding her very tenderly, but he does not seem like a good guy.
Okay. So we talked about our discomfort with the art. Do you think it's effective art?
No.
Me neither. Why?
It's not
because it's clearly had a reaction from us.
To me, it's not. It is not giving org, and nothing about it is tied to the effect or the orginess of any other creature of this type that we've seen before.
This is what I dislike about it. And I know you have some notes on the nightmare cycle, so maybe you can take us into that in a second. But like, to me, the essence of org, if there can be an essence of cards where there's only four of them and one of them is a 7-mana vanilla 6/6, like the essence of these is like big dumb beat stick. And I just don't think this feels like that. Now we're bleeding into mechanics. But the art too for me is just like, we only had two previous orgs like in the history of Magic and we're riffing on them in this turning them into tentacle monsters. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't, it just irritates. I don't know why. It kind of irritates me to an irrational degree.
I think that's a good point that like this is a creature type that's barely made an impression on the game, and we're trying to like now spin it into this nightmare version. Just doesn't work.
Yeah, like turning a dragon, like there's World Gorger Dragon is one of the other nightmares. Turning that into a like nightmare beast, that makes sense to me. But like doing it with an org, it's like, well, what even is that? You know, it doesn't have the resonance.
Yeah. Yep. So speaking of World Gorger Dragon, that's the only other one of these cards that I was familiar with at all. I know almost nothing about Judgment as a set. But turns out there are 9 cards in this cycle, I guess you would call it. There are 3 red cards that are something Gorger. There's Soul Gorger Org, World Gorger Dragon, and then a really forgettable comment called Spell Gorger Barbarian. And then there are 6 blue cards that all have Worm Fang in the name. And all 9 of these cards have some sort of, when this enters the battlefield, bad thing happens to you. When it leaves the battlefield, good thing happens to you.
And when we say bad thing, like, they're all really bad. Like, I don't want to read them all, but, like, Spellgorger Barbarian has one of the least big downsides, and the downside is, like, when it enters, discard a card at random, then draw a card when it leaves. Wormfang Behemoth is exile your hand until it leaves. Like, all of these have really big, meaningful crazy kind of downside. Wormfang Manta is you skip your next turn is the downside. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Extra turn after that when it dies.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Wormfang Behemoth, because I was looking at these 9 cards, and that's the only one where I feel like you couldn't even come up with some like any sort of conceivable combo that would be good here, like Soul Gorger Org. There are combos that, you know, you can take advantage of with setting yourself or someone else to 1 life and then getting that all back. World Gorger Dragon, you can imagine, you know, a bunch of like your permanents leaving the board and then all coming back at once. That could
very powerful cool and vintage for like stuff. A decade. Yep.
There you go. Wormfang Behemoth, when it comes into play, but it's just a 5 mana 5/5, no keywords, no abilities or anything. When it comes into play, you exile all cards in your hand. When it comes back into play, then you get them back into your hand.
I've been trying to think, a lot of these are hard, like Wormfang Manta, right?
Yeah.
Manta would skip your next turn. I'm actually curious from a rules perspective, like if you flicker that a bunch, I assume the net is it does nothing. No, you end up missing your turn, right? Because it leaves and you get a turn and then it comes back and you skip it. Like, how do you, can't even think of a way to break the Manta. I think almost, that one's also a 7 mana 6/1 flyer, by the way, just for the record. So I don't know what we're doing
that one,
there.
That one, it's almost like you could imagine that it's meant to die. But yeah, like how does that
work? But you can't have it leave the battlefield multiple times. So like, how do you take advantage of that?
Yeah.
It's always got to enter before it leaves, right? Like, so how do you break? Is there a way to break the symmetry? If anyone knows, let us know. I don't know of one.
Yeah, it's confusing me. That's Wormfang Manta, if anyone wants to figure out how that card could work for us.
Yeah, we'll link all of them. It's a weird cycle. Like, there's 9 of these in total. And I just checked. Judgment has 140.
Colors.
Yeah, there's 143 cards in Judgment. So that means, what is that? That is, like, fully 6% of the set. Like, more than 1 out of 20 cards in Judgment are in this cycle, which is seems like an insane level of commitment to this particular set of effects.
Yeah, they all do have tentacle mouths, though. So that's another unifying trait for all 9 of these cards.
It's cool. It's cool, I guess.
If we get really desperate, we can do an episode on the tentacle mouth creatures of Judgment.
Yeah, this one has some kind of fun combo potential. I can think of 2 ways. One is when you gain life, or when you gain the life, if you have some like life gain doubling effect, you would gain back double the life. So if you could like flicker this with a life gain doubler, you could gain a lot of life in red. Kind of cute, I guess. Mm-hmm. This is also really
notably a really good thing to do.
No, it's a terrible thing to do. it's also big in Beamtown Bullies in EDH, which is a red, black, green. My brain just deserted me. Sultai? No.
Jund, right?
Jund, jeez. Oh my god. Good. Oh my good. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Where are my words? It's a Jund commander notably says tap target opponent whose turn it is puts target non-legendary creature from your graveyard onto the battlefield under their control. So that's cute. You know, you can set your opponent's life total to one, then kill them. That's very fun. Mm-hmm. You know, one other weird thing I realized before we get to rating, this is an uncommon, which also strikes me as an insane effect to have on an uncommon. Like, imagine getting two of these in draft. Like, what a weird card to have an uncommon.
That kind of makes me like it more, actually.
Because it's just so strange.
Yeah, it just like feels so, everything about it just feels so mismatched.
It really does. That gets to my rating. I have this as a like an F, which is very harsh. But I think the main reason is I just don't like your combo B smart card as an org. I just don't think these should go together. I think org should be for like 12-year-old Timmies like I was when I opened my first org that we'll get to in a second. And you just hit your opponent with the 6/6. I think this cleverness really like just genuinely rubs me the wrong way on this card, which I accept is a little irrational.
I've got it as at a D, because I almost wonder like if how much it really was intended as a combo card, just looking at everything else in the cycle. Like World Gorger Dragon is like a 6-mana 7/7 flying trampler with this huge downside. This is like a 5-mana 6/6 trampler with a big downside. I guess in theory the blue ones are strong for blue creatures. One of them is basically a grizzly bear with a downside, but like in theory they're just sort of like big Timmy-ish cards for a low mana cost with this drawback, which makes me feel like it's not, maybe Soul Gorger org isn't trying to be as clever as we're giving it credit for.
That
means I like it more, but I'll just give it a D.
We're being weirdly hard on these, even though I think we both like this creature type, but these middle two to me are slightly stinkers. It's kind of bookended by two cards I love, and then these two are like whatever.
Really we're just doing this episode for the first and the last card.
That's completely true.
The other ones.
All right, should we go to that last card?
Yeah, let's take it home.
All right, our final card, Butcher Org, 4RRR. What a great mana cost. 6/6 creature org. You may divide Butcher Org's combat damage as you choose among defending player and or any number of creatures they control. And the flavor text, it can kill you with three arms tied behind its back. Okay, this was my first favorite Magic card. I don't know that it was like the first cards I opened. I don't remember exactly when I got it, but this is from like Onslaught Block when we started playing. And I remember when I saw this, I was like, holy cow. The things I like about this, it's very large, or I liked then, that I still like. It's very large. It's very scary. I find this Kev Walker art incredibly intense and pretty freaky. And I think the effect, we'll talk about it more in a second, is literally unique. There is no other card in Magic that does this exact effect. And it's actually a very powerful effect, especially in the kind of terrible kitchen table Magic we were playing back then. Like, just like divvy up your damage however you want. Like, once I wrap my head around that, which was actually quite confusing, like, this is even if you're not doing any of the crazy combo stuff we can talk about in a second, just the power to like divvy up damage however you want really, really messes with your opponent's blocks. This is going to win a lot of games where two Timmies are like slamming grizzly bears into each other.
Which absolutely is basically how we started.
That's basically all we did. It was like Butcher Org versus Crumb Shell Crab. Who's going to win? Butcher Org's going to win that one. Anyway, I have more to say, but like, yeah, Connor, what's your basic temp check on Butcher Org?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it's wild to me that this effect is still completely unique, because it feels like something that should be more widespread. Like, it's a concept that, I don't know, just seems like it should be more common in Magic, like the idea of being able to spread the damage around in whatever way you want to. So it's like really surprising to me that it's unique. And as I'm rereading it now, it's also sort of weirdly ambiguous in a way I don't think I've noticed before. Like, it doesn't say anything like when Butcher Org attacks, you can assign its combat damage in this way. It's just like you can divide its combat damage. When there's nothing saying like that this happens when Butcher Org attacks and becomes blocked or anything like that.
I'm quite sure we played it the other way, actually, when we started playing Magic. Because I think the word defending player is doing a lot of work here, and I don't think I understood what that meant at that age.
It's a lot of work, and it's kind of ambiguous work, because like, if you're new to the game, like we were, you know, it would not be hard to misread this as saying that like you can block with Butcher Org and just like deal 6 damage to your opponent by blocking their creature.
Which as the person who owned the Butcher Org, that was my preferred interpretation, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's not that far, like, that's not a crazy reading with the way that this is worded. And the Oracle text nowadays is basically the same. Like, there's no real clarity to it. So that was kind of striking to me.
Yeah. Art here, I think, is totally sick. I think you probably have more to say on this as our sort of art guru, but I like that we have like the same basic org, like characteristics are carry forward, forearms, green, giant mouth, kind of crazy bat ears. But here it's just imbued with this like savage killerness that is actually not at all funny anymore. It's like, this is a genuinely pretty scary monster.
Yeah. I mean, it's like terrifying. And this was really striking to me. Like we basically started playing, I can't remember exactly what set was like the newest one at the time. I don't know if it was Onslaught or maybe Legions. I feel like Legions was the first one where we
somewhere in there
and got a starter deck. But seeing something like Butcher Org, when what we had been playing up to that point was Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, there's this sort of like unfiltered savagery to Butcher Org that like really made an impression on me. Like, he's got these massive fangs, there's blood flying out of his mouth, it looks like his face is kind of covered in blood, like he's just like been ripping apart some creature that's just outside of the frame. I'm like, that is a big step up from Blue Eyes White Dragon or Pikachu, like, to go to this thing, and it really like really made a mark on me.
Felt very grown up. The forearms have gone
scary.
Yeah, the forearms have gone from kind of a joke here to like, it's kind of like they seem like they have a purpose. Like, you know, there's this debate of like, what did T-Rex use its little arms for? Was it for like holding down prey, or was it for mating, or were they vestigial? Like, in this case, it kind of looks like they were there to like pin down his prey as he like rips them apart with his horrible giant teeth or something like this. Because one of them's like kind of dripping blood, the ones in the one in the shadow. Kev Walker's done like 500 pieces of art for Magic across almost the entire history of the game. And so he's got plenty of bangers, but for me, this is one of my all-time favorite Kev Walker pieces. This one, and what is the dragon? He's got a dragon in Scourge that I'm equally in love with. I'll look up the name. You know what I'm talking about? It's also like mana.
Seeing the art, like, I'm seeing it in my mind's eye right now. I just cannot.
Dragon Tyrant. Is it a Dragon Tyrant? Dragon Tyrant. Another total Kev Walker banger. But yeah, this piece.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not always a fan of this like photorealistic, like badass strong kind of art that was big at this time in Magic history, but here I think it totally rocks.
I think with like the really sharp contrast between the like light and dark areas and the fact that it's not like he's humanoid, but he's clearly not a human and has this like massive head and no neck, like it makes the sort of hyper realistic muscle bound aspect of this art like scary as opposed to kind of goofy, which is, I think, at least now how it comes across on like if you just got some like big macho human man standing in the frame,
like Kommel, like Kommel Pit Fighter to me just looks silly.
Exactly. Yeah.
This guy still
Butcher
looks
cool. Butcher Org is cool and very scary.
Yeah, this guy's like a monster in Stranger Things or something. Like he's a real monster.
Yep.
So we talked about the effect a little bit. This is a totally unique effect still. I can link a Scryfall search to prove it, but there's no other effect that does exactly this. I've always wondered why. It seems like a natural to just stick this on something. Someone actually asked Mauro on his blog a while back about this, but unfortunately he just missed that part of the question, so we don't know why this is totally unique. I wonder if it is that it's a little bit confusing, particularly to a new player. Like, there's a lot to unpack here. And used well, it's like pretty annoying. This has really fun combo potential. I'll link a video. So we kind of got pipped to this because like a month ago, someone did an incredible like Butcher Org video that I will link from the show notes. That's all about the kind of mechanical potential of this card. So way more in depth there, but this does all kinds of cool things. Like the kind of table stakes one is Death Touch, right? If you have a Death Touch effect on the Butcher Org, it just needs to tap each of your opponent's creatures one damage. So that's like a 6-for-1 every swing, which is obviously super cool. Cool with all kinds of other random effects. Torbran, I think it's fun, you know, +2 damage. So divide this across 6 sources or 6 targets. Again, each of those gets that flat +2 damage. So that's 18 damage off your 6-6. I think it was in that video somewhere or other, I ran across using this with Kusari Gama, which I believe is from Champions of Kamigawa. And it's an equipment that says whenever equipped creature deals damage to a blocking creature, this equipment deals that much damage to each other creature defending player controls. So that's six. I think the math there is this does six damage. If you spread it across six creatures, all of your opponent's creatures take six damage and the blocking ones take seven. So it's basically a board wipe or more or less. So there's lots of ways to turn this into basically like every time this attacks Plague Wind, which is pretty awesome. And the fact that it requires you to do work to do there, to do that, I think is also great. Like it doesn't just hand you that for free, but it is still pretty good on its own, right? If you just are in normal Magic combat, this is going to win some games. It's going to close out some things. Just an all around super cool card.
Yeah. I'm still trying to process Kusari Gama here. Because if it was a 6/6, it would just deal 6 damage to everything. Like, Trained Org would do that, right?
No. Wait.
Wouldn't it?
Yes, you're right. But it would do it in a way cooler way. Wait a second. Yeah. No. Wait, no, it would deal 7 to some of them. Because the one that's blocked would take 1. Plus 6 from each of the... No, you're right. No, you're right. It's just 6.
If you spread it out,
oh, no. I was so excited about this.
What, then they...
I think you're right. I think you're right. Oh, no. Is this not... This is a non-bow? Oh, man. I'm so disappointed in this.
I think maybe if you do it that way, it makes Butcher Org worse.
But it makes the... It makes it the combat math hard for your opponent. Not in the sense that... They're disadvantaged, but just literally hard. Like they're just going to struggle to understand what's going to happen.
Yeah, you need like the red yarn connecting between different creatures to show who's taking damage for what.
Yeah, it's like a psychological win. It's like these people who like tap their lands at like a 45 degree angle instead of a 90 degree angle, or put their lands in front of their creatures, and these things are legal, but they're wrong. Like it's kind of like that. Yeah. It's just a little dig. Let's pretend that was my theory.
Psychological warfare. Yeah, like when we play on Cockatrice and you draw like 24 arrows between my cards.
We should play this on Cockatrice so I could draw so many arrows. I would have an opportunity to draw so many arrows with this card.
And then I would just press F2 to concede.
The moment when you realized how to remove the arrows, my Cockatrice enjoyment dropped a lot, just for the record.
Yeah.
One other fun thing about this card that really surprised me is that this has had like a renaissance in the last year with the kind of rise of the pre-modern format. This is starting to show up in like Sneak Attack, Reanimator, Survival shells. Not a lot, but like 7 or 8 events. This is top 8 in the last year is just like part of that like toolbox for, you know, unfair creature, cheat out a creature kind of decks, which is great. I don't think this ever got competitive play back in the day, so... And frankly, I never would have thought Butcher Org would get a day in the sun. So that makes me very happy.
Yeah. Good job, Butcher Org.
Good job. I mean, rating wise, I don't need to hide the ball. This is an S for me. This is one of my favorite cards of all time. I'm not giving anything lower than an S. Easy S.
I don't think it ever was as touched my soul as deeply as it did yours. I've got it at an A. Maybe out of a little bit of fear, I can't give an S to something that scares me that much.
It's your childhood fear reemerging. All those Kusari Gama combos I pulled on you where I told you, yeah, totally what happens. All your creatures die, discard your hand. That's what it works out to.
They all die, and all your old deck goes to the graveyard.
Even when I block, actually, Connor, that defending player means... In this case, you as well.
It's not me.
Yeah. You are defending against me in the game. That's what it means.
Yeah. I can't give that an S.
All right. Fair enough. All right. That brings us to the end of our org review. I was going to say quick one, but I just looked at the time span. It was a mere 48 minutes, which for us is pretty quick to talk about 4.5 cards.
It's pretty quick.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, if you did, like, comment, subscribe. If you remember any of these wonderful guys, let us know. If you can answer whether there is a Kusari Gama combo that I'm just failing to articulate, like, please comment on that because I'm starting to doubt all of my abilities to read Magic the Gathering cards. I think that's it. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Austin.
I'm Connor.
Have a good night.